Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. In the name of the Good Shepherd, the one who is should be guiding and directing each one of our lives this morning. Enjoyed the discussion around the Good Shepherd and thinking of the relationship we have with him. This morning my message takes probably a little different turn than our Sunday school lesson. I was assigned a topic a few weeks ago. The title I was given for a message was Building Bridges, Not Walls. And I decided that I'm going to use that message here this morning. And I had to wonder what went into the thought behind a committee choosing a title like that. There is a book written that has that exact title, Building Bridges, Not Walls. Basically, book that is promoting doing away with borders and not doing away with border walls and borders between countries, saying that to have borders were keeping people from mingling. And we're not going to get into the politics this morning. That's not my goal at all. Instead, I want to look more at relationships and how relationships take work. It takes work to build relationships, to build bridges when there is differences. Look at that a little bit. So bridges are expensive. They take time to build. Think of a bridge being built, and many times you see the bridge construction starts on and it goes for months or years until there's completion. Example of this, the CSVT River Bridge that many of you are familiar with north of Shamokin Dam between Winfield and Northumberland. That project started in January of 2016. And it's been open just a little less than 2 years. It opened in July of 2022. That project was under construction for over 6 years. Had a contract price of $156 million. So bridges take time to build and they're expensive. Take a lot of money. Think about that as we move through the message. And then maybe in contrast to that, think of a wall, framing contractors and how quickly they can put up walls, build walls. It can happen fast. There's very little in a day's time a contractor can put up a building, a pretty big wall. Bridges connect two sides of a river or a conflict, a gorge. Maybe there's a deep valley and the bridges connect that. They allow traffic to flow without even really recognizing the peril of the river below. When you go across that river bridge up there north of Shamokin Dam, in a little over a minute's time you're across there. You're on the other side and you don't even think about the water, the river bottom land that you just went across. It's a simple, easy thing to get across that river. Bridges connect countries. The U.S. and Canada border have 26 bridges and tunnels connecting the two countries. They are areas where people can cross. There's many other border crossings, but there's 26 of them that are either a bridge or a tunnel that connect across a river, across a boundary line. Bridges make a border vulnerable. If you want to have a secure border, bridges need security at them to help keep that security there. Crossing a bridge means there isn't a wall. There's not something to stop you. So another illustration I had to think of that maybe brings these two together a little bit is a drawbridge. In the medieval castles, there was a drawbridge that would be lowered to let someone into the castle, but then lifted to provide that security to to close off the entrance, and often a moat with water in to have a barrier there. And that's not the type of bridges we want to look at this morning. In relationships, if you have a drawbridge, it's going to be something that is, could we say, sporadic, where you can let someone across and then cut that off. That's not what we want to do, but we want to have bridges that allow people to have communication, to move back and forth. The title infers that building bridges is a good thing and that walls are a bad thing. So let's think about walls just a little bit. A lot of highways, interstates through a town, through a city have walls as well. You have the sound barrier walls that are built to give a barrier between the traffic and the neighborhoods that lay right up against them, provide sound barrier. Is that the type of walls we're talking about? Well, that does cut off. You driving down the road can't see right into that backyard, and that person sitting in the backyard does have a sense of privacy, security in their backyard. They don't have that traffic flowing by them. Even though it's only a few yards away from them, they do not see it or hear it as much because of those walls. But maybe closer to the walls we want to think about is thinking of borders, the southern border wall. That wall is built with the intent to keep people from crossing it, to keep two cultures, two countries apart. Like I said, I'm not going to get into the politics of that. There is a book written on that with this exact title, with that whole intent of that. If that's what you want to think about, go read that book. There's over 700 miles of physical wall or barrier that has been built between Mexico and the United States. It's a physical barrier that is built to keep illegal immigration in check. This wall is built and designed to keep people from crossing it. It's purposely constructed to separate two nations. The goal is to keep the cultures and the people from mixing. So the walls we want to look at are walls that divide and separate us in our relationship. Walls that hamper our ability to understand and work together as brothers and sisters in a congregation, families, those we relate to even outside of our brotherhood, neighbors, co-workers. It's very easy for walls to grow up, to crop up without even much effort going into them. But instead, we need to have focus on the bridges. So thinking about some relationships, we have a couple different types of relationships that we want to think about as we go through the message. You have your home relationships, starting with some of the closest, husband and wife relationship, parents to children. Those relationships are close and they need bridges. They need connection to keep that open. Then you have the brotherhood relationships, the church, body of believers that work together, and it should also be a very close relationship. With any close relationship comes the potential for misunderstanding, for differences, for walls to crop up that will block that communication. Then thinking beyond that, you have your work, people you interact with from day to day that maybe are not church brothers, people that are, but you know them well. You build relationships with them, and we need to work with those relationships. You have to learn to work together with coworkers and ways that we can share the gospel with those that we work with and know well. And then you have the random meetings, the person at the grocery store or across the gas pump from you, that's maybe a one-time meeting. And those people, maybe you say, well, you don't even have a bridge with them. But let's be willing and ready to share the gospel, share the person, build a bridge of connection with them. I invite you to turn to Joshua 22. a passage that, it's an Old Testament passage, a passage that was, came to my mind as I was thinking of this assignment. And we'll look at two groups of people that had some walls, were attempting to build some bridges, and misunderstandings, some communication that broke down. I do plan to read a nice part of this chapter, and it is a lengthy chapter. So I know it's an Old Testament account. Sometimes that can seem kind of long. I think I'm going to ask you all to stand as I read these verses, just to give a change of position and help you to stick with us as we read this. If you can stand, I'm going to read Joshua 22. I'm going to start at verse 9. Just a little introduction. There was the children of Israel had conquered Canaan. They were now settled in, and two tribes, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, had come and helped do this conquest with the rest, and they were now ready to return to their land on the other side of Jordan. Those two and a half tribes had been given land on the east side of Jordan, and they were now returning home. That's a little bit of the setting. I'm going to read starting Joshua 22, verse 9. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan and the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was a head of the house of their father among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, unto the children of Gad, unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, and unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, for which we are not cleansed unto this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that ye might turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zior, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and the wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perisheth not alone in his iniquity. You can be seated. I'm going to continue reading here, but I gave you a little change of position. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer their own burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto your children, unto our children, saying, what have we to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, we have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be when they shall so say to us to our generation in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord, to build an altar for burnt offering, for meat offering, or for sacrifices, besides the altar of the Lord our God, that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and the heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words which the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest said unto the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and out of the land of Gilead unto the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. This story, though, we see some misunderstandings. We see some intent to build connection between two groups of people and some misunderstandings of it. Looking a little bit at some of the points, some of the thoughts I had as I read over this, in verse 10, the 2.5 tribes recognized there was something that divided them from the rest of Israel. They seen that Jordan River that would hinder travel, it would hinder their ability to relate back and forth, and they recognized it as a dividing factor in their lives. As I mentioned in the introduction, bridges span a river or another division or dividing thing in geography. In relationships, there's often differences, and that's the reason we need a bridge. In this case, it was actually a geographical divide. It was a river that had them divided. Two groups of people, and you have something dividing them, it brings about the us and them mentality. And you have that, you see that here. They were thinking about how their children were going to say to the children from the other side, what do we have to do with each other? What's our relationship? Maybe an example of this today, not a geographical one necessarily, could be, but When a congregation starts an outreach, starting a new congregation, and while the two groups are still together in one group, but after the decision is made, as soon as you know who is moving to the other church, you start to have a bit of a divide or a bit of a different feel, an us and them mentality. And that's not wrong, but it brings about a division, a separation. And I think that's what these folks seen as they were heading back. They realized that there was going to be a difference between them. Another example, a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of traveling with an older gentleman that is part of a non-denominational, described it as a Baptist-like church. And we found we had some differences as we discussed doctrine, as we discussed church life, and there was differences that came up. And we had a choice whether we're going to build a bridge or a wall. Were we going to allow that to divide us, to make our ride tense and something that would be a challenge. We'll talk about that a little more later. I'll go a little more into some of the discussions we had, but what about our Protestant neighbors? Are we building bridges with them or walls? And I'm not talking of compromising on doctrine. I'm not talking of compromising on the gospel message, but are we quick to cut off relationship with someone we don't quite agree with or see eye to eye with? Or are we willing to discuss things with them to look for common factors? Sometimes the things that divide us are trivial. And when we actually look at them and realize what is dividing us, we find out that it's not that big of a deal. It's not that much, but it can become a big deal or something big in our lives. Our natural tendency is to protect ourselves from something we view as a threat. So we build a wall from letting that hurt us. The 2.5 tribes recognized the geographical divide had the potential to divide them in the coming generations, to cause walls to be built. They recognized that it could cause a problem in the future. The second thing I noticed in here in verse 10, the 2.5 tribes decided to build an altar to serve as a reminder to the coming generations. They were trying to build a bridge. They were trying to build a monument that would unite them together. They wanted a visual reminder for their children and the children of the other side, the rest of Israel, so there would be a connection, a spiritual connection that would bring them together. And later, towards the end of this passage, we see that once the other side understood what they were intending, they were blessed by it as well. They seen it as a blessing too. They called this older Ed as a witness between us, and the tribes on the other side were okay with it too. The third thing I notice in verse 11 is that what the 2.5 tribes meant as a bridge, as something to connect them, the others seen as a wall. They seen it as a threat, as something that was intended to promote idol worship. They seen it as something that was wrong and something that would cause a problem. In this situation, the reason for the misunderstanding view of this altar was a result of a lack of communication, a lack of understanding of what they were intending. The rest of Israel, the main group of Israel, formed some conclusions without investigating them first. They came to conclusions and alleged motives that the 2.5 tribes had because they did not check into it. I think it's a huge cause for walls in our lives today. We assume. It says that they heard say in those verses. Hearsay, assumptions are a great way to get walls started. When you hear something and you assume it, you hear something and you assign a motive to your brother without first of all going and asking him what his perspective is. We assume that what our brother or sister is doing that to us appears like a mistake. We form opinions, we make judgments, judgment calls about it, without placing ourselves in their situation and understanding the reasons they used, the reasoning, the thought process they used to come to the conclusion they did. And it makes me think of the old American Indian proverb. It says, never judge another man until you have walked a mile in his moccasins. Put yourself in his shoes, put yourself in his situation, and then maybe you understand it better. We'll think about that more a little later, too. So communication is essential in building bridges. So when you build a bridge, there's a lot of engineers, there's a lot of surveyors and geo-surveying that goes into the soil types, the depth to the rock. testing, verifying of the existing conditions. There's a lot of communication and collaboration that goes into building a bridge. You don't just decide to put a bridge in and get started. Construction of the bridge needs to be precise. When they go to set one of those big steel beams, they don't want to find out that the piers are off by 6 inches. It needs to be precise. It needs to be exact. All this takes a lot of communication, and so it is in relationship. If communication breaks down, there's misunderstandings, and soon there's walls that crop up because of it. And it farther hinders communication. Here's a few thoughts, a few points that I have on this communication that helps for bridge building to happen. First one I have is to be transparent. And in this chapter that we read, the two groups of people, if the two and a half tribes had told the rest of Israel what their intentions were and why they were building this altar before they built it, it would have averted this whole conflict. They would not have had this problem if they had explained themselves before they ever left. So be transparent. And I want to say, some, lest I come across as though you always need to explain yourself, I'm not saying that needs to be done all the time, but there's benefit and blessing if you think that what you're doing may be misunderstood, to explain to one of your brothers what your intentions are. Get their counsel on it. Ask them what their thoughts are, but then give some explanation as to why you're doing what you're doing. Part of bridging the gap is to explain why you reached the conclusion you did in the whatever you're working through or doing. If you know your brother, your family member may misunderstand, sometimes a simple explanation up front can avert a conflict. In this situation, it could have. Being transparent about the thought processes behind you, what you do, helps to build bridges and tear down those walls. Now, the second point, the second thought is the other side, the other person in this situation. Be slow to judge. It's the other side of the bridge. It's the other abutment to that bridge. In this chapter, we see the Israelites gathered together to go up to war. It says they heard say and they heard tell about this altar, and they gathered together to war. And it seems like at some point in that gathering together of war, someone with some wisdom realized that maybe they should ask a few questions first, and they delegated Phinehas and a group of 10 men to go and ask some questions. So they did do some things right in this. They did ask questions before they launched a full-scale invasion on the other side of Jordan. They started out, when they did get there, they started out by asking questions. So they did some things right in this situation. But I think maybe if they had, first of all, sent Phinehas before they shut down all their building houses. Remember, they had just conquered the land of Canaan, and I'm sure they had a lot of work to do. And it sounds like they all gathered together to war and then had to wait while the other group went to find out what was happening. And I'm sure there was a lot of confusion, a lot of things that got shut down because of this conflict. So be slow to judge. Questions should be thought through, not be threatening. Some of the questions asked in this passage, you can see that they had already assigned motives to these people. They had already decided that they were like Achan. They said, we see that you did this, and do you really want to be judged like Achan was? They had assigned motives in it, but be careful when you ask questions with somebody that you sense there's something that you don't understand. Ask questions in a non-threatening way. Maybe the attention could have been alleviated much sooner if they had asked what this altar meant and then left the two and a half tribes to reply, instead of, how many verses do we have here of their questions and their accusations against these people. Remember that most likely the person on the other side of the river has a very logical and thought through reason as to why they did what they did. Remember again, do not judge till you've walked a mile in his moccasins. Be slow to pass judgment on others. The third point, the third thought on this communication, be quick to take care of misunderstandings. By letting misunderstandings go, we're allowing walls to be built. And those walls get higher, thicker. If there's misunderstandings there, take care of them immediately. In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, Jesus says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Jesus teaches us here that there's a lot of value in taking care of misunderstandings right away. He even prioritizes that over offering a sacrifice. It says, leave your gift there by the altar and go be reconciled. Go take care of it immediately. Again, in this chapter, the Israelites did. They went and asked questions, but like I said earlier, if they had done that before they all gathered together to war, it would have involved a lot less people, would have involved a lot less misunderstandings and threat to those that were coming. Do you think the 2.5 tribes knew that there was an army gathered together? There was a lot of tension that built up in that situation because they did not go immediately and ask questions. Be quick to take care of misunderstandings. Just some practical bridge building thoughts for today. How can we build bridges with our fellow man? How can we build bridges with our brothers, with those we meet in daily life? First thought I have is look for common ground. To build a bridge, you need to have piers and abutments that are aligned. They need to line up. If the one is sitting off a quarter mile or even a few feet, the bridge beams are not going to line up. Look for common ground, things that you can agree on that are aligned, and that will help to build a bridge. As I mentioned, I was riding with my Baptist, I call him a Baptist friend. His church is a non-denominational, but he said it's very close to Baptist. And I enjoyed our time discussing things. We discussed eternal security. We discussed predestination. We discussed involvement in politics. And we did disagree and did not come to the same conclusion on a lot of those things. But it was interesting that there was things that we could agree on. He was decrying the state of Christianity in America today. He was decrying the churches that are flying the pride flag. He just doesn't see how that can be aligned with biblical principles. He agreed with our position of not having women in church leadership. He agreed that's a biblical principle. I'm not sure where his church comes out on that exactly, but he seen that as a valuable thing. He agreed with me that a Christian whose life is not producing fruit is in a dangerous place. And after a bit, I began to wonder where we were, how much difference there was between us on this eternal security question, because he said if a Christian's life is not producing fruit, he's not sure if they're a Christian. So in the end, I think we were closer than we were in the beginning because we spent some time developing those arguments, developing that discussion, and in the end, we had a very good time together, and I think we found some common ground, some things we could agree on. Yes, there's still differences. Yes, there's things that I do not agree with him on, and probably we won't, but look for common ground. Look for ways to build bridges. Get a foundation started so that you can relate. It's especially important with church brothers, with those that you go to church with, to have that common ground, to look for those areas to build on. And really, we do agree on a lot of things. If you stop and think about how much we agree on, we have a lot of common ground. Another thought on practical bridge building: the closer the relationship, the more important the bridge. With that casual acquaintance, that person that you met one time, that bridge is not as important, but with your family, with your spouse, your children, bridges are very important, with your church brothers as well. Your family, look for ways to strengthen the bridges you already have. Time spent together is important. Spending time together, planning and dreaming, sharing your goals, sharing your vision is a way to build bridges, to strengthen what's there. Endeavor to understand each other. Seek common ground again. If you sense a wall going up, do your best to understand the reason for it and to help to tear it down. To find and understand the other person's point of view, see their perspective, and look for ways to bridge the gap. Again, remember, thinking of church brothers, remember that we agree on almost everything. Those small differences are actually pretty small. Yes, we may have some differences, different thoughts on things, but when it comes to doctrinal, practical Christian living, there's a lot of things that we agree on. There's a lot of things that we can unite around, and let's look for those things and develop that. If we alienate ourselves from our church brotherhood, we really are alone. We really are by ourselves. Remember the test of love that Jesus gave in John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. There's people that are looking on and they're seeing whether we, as a brotherhood, have love for each other. And Jesus said that's the way they're going to know whether you're really my disciples. Build bridges with those you meet that are open to the gospel. Jesus was a true example of this with the woman at the well. He met that woman at the well. He did not antagonize her. He used the natural example of the well and water to draw her into a spiritual discussion, into a spiritual conversation. Let's be open to the seeking, hurting hearts of those we meet each day that are thirsting for living water. There's a lot of people today that are hungry for that. And let's look for ways to model what Jesus did. Yes, he's the perfect example. We're going to fall short of that, but let's model what he did. Let's look for ways to build bridges, not threaten or antagonize, but rather build bridges. Do your neighbors know you as someone they can come and ask questions to? When they come up against a hard time, do they know you as a person that knows the gospel, that knows the Bible, has your feet planted firmly on the rock? Or do they see you as a part of an exclusive community that doesn't want to be bothered by their broken lives of sin, the things that they're involved in? How do we tear down walls? Maybe there's a wall in your life that seems like it's there and you can't do anything about it. How do we tear that down? How can we build bridges instead of walls? And I'll say there may be times that, and in bridge building, it does take an abutment on both sides of the river, and really it takes two willing people to build a bridge. It's almost impossible to build a bridge from one side of the river and expect it to last. So maybe there's times when bridges are almost impossible to be built. Maybe there's times there's walls that you can't break down yourself. And I think in some of those situations, we need to be asking God. Maybe the only thing we can do is pray, but that is an important thing. And let's keep praying, asking God to show us areas that maybe there's an area in your life that needs to change for that bridge to build, for that wall to come down. Let's be open to that. Let's ask God what we need to do, what we can do. Don't stop asking God what you can do to build the broken relationship. It's important to do your part to bridge the gap. Be the first to offer to get together, to talk about the struggles, the walls that are there. Tell the other person that you want a relationship and do your best to understand how you can better relate. And like I said, maybe there's an offense, maybe there's something that stands in the way that you have done. And if you that comes to your attention, take care of it. Be willing to go the second mile to bridge that gap. So when is a bridge optional? Is it ever right to build a wall? Is it ever right to have walls? Well, I think we do need to be careful about opening ourselves up wide to influences that would be a hindrance to us in our lives. And that's not really what I'm talking about here today, but I want to clarify that as we cannot embrace the world and sinful culture around us and say that we are just all inclusive of everyone. We need to stand on truth. We need to stand firm in what we believe and know why we believe it, but be ready to share the gospel with all mankind, with everyone. In conclusion, communication in any relationship takes work. It takes time. I said in the beginning, bridges are expensive and they take time to build. It's not something you can do overnight. Just like bridges, relationships are not built in a few days. Let's invest in them, whether it's your family, your brotherhood, co-workers, or those random acquaintances you meet. Remember that if we put up walls or shut out others, it isolates us. When you build a wall, you're blocking yourself off as well. And it doesn't promote brotherhood or healthy relationships. In conclusion, I have a poem. It's titled The Bridge Builder. It's a common poem that you probably have heard before, but I think I'm going to read it in conclusion, just summing it up a little bit. It's not exactly relating to relationships, but it is I think portrays well the value of bridges. The Bridge Builder. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side to build a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you are wasting strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at the eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. Are you building bridges today, or are you building walls? A challenge to take with us from here.